You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and with me, as always, is Zach Batista. Zach, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. As you can tell, both our voices are absolutely shot after this amazing weekend of indie wrestling.
Yes, yes, yes. Our voices are absolutely destroyed because we just got done with the collective weekend in Indianapolis, and we had five incredible shows that we want to spew to you about today on our very special episode here live, still in Indy. Me and Zach are currently in the same room along with our friend Ryan Knightsey. Ryan, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm doing well. I feel like my voice is the best of the three, but still, I can feel it. It's a laid back episode of Independent Waters, it feels like.
Yes, it is very much. Ryan definitely conserved his voice the best out of the three of us. Me the worst, which is crazy because I usually do the most talking on this show.
No, but other than that, though, I'm doing really good. I thought we saw a lot of great wrestling this weekend. All five shows we saw in person, I thought were very, very good. There's some things of every show, but other than that, like, I still had a lot of fun, and I think it was totally, you know, the question of whether or not the weekend was worth it. I feel like it was. It's tough to say as long as we don't get COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the real test of when we get back.
I personally think it was worth it because, it gave me something good to look forward to, even though, our original trip of this got canceled because we were going to go to the Tampa one originally.
Yes.
We were going to literally go to like five of the shows happening in the Florida gig.
Yes.
There was a bunch.
I think we had seven.
I
think we had tickets to seven shows in Florida.
That sounds right.
That sounds more accurate. I know we had the Supercard of Honor and like Prestige and
yeah, we had some ones that got canceled. Yeah. And then we got the Collective.
Then we got the Collective. So Spring Break and Barnett, thankfully.
Hey, we did salvage a good week. Like I said, I think we did salvage a good weekend.
I thought it was
this
great.
I had a great time. These shows were sick.
Oh, so good.
And for those of you who don't know, Ryan Knightsey, now that I'm getting to it, he is my co-host on Hit the Books that you can listen to every Friday here on the Hit the Books Network.
A perfect plug.
Nailed it.
Perfect plug.
Absolutely, yes. Nailed it. So today, we have a special episode. We're not going to be going over matches per se, but we are going to be just kind of giving a quick review of each show that we went to this weekend and just picking out some highlights and lowlights of each show and saying how we liked it.
If we went through every single match, guys, we would have to go over to like 40-something matches.
Yeah, this would be like a really long show if we did that.
I tallied it, didn't I? What did I say? 49? 42?
Yes.
What was it?
I remember,
something like that. Yeah, we watched like over 40 matches.
I remember going into Shimmer, we were at 32 or 5, and you said we would hit 40 by the end of the night at least.
Yes, I think at Shimmer we were at 32, and then at the end of the night it was 49 or something.
Ridiculous. So much wrestling.
Also, we're going to plug an honorable mention show of Glory Pro that we watched, but not live in person.
Yes.
Yeah, we bought this on
We bought TV. The pay-per-view when we got here, but we didn't watch it live.
Shout out to AJ Gray versus ACH in that show. That match is great. If you have any time, go watch that.
Yeah, I can't talk on that match very much because I kind of missed it.
Mikey was shot.
Yeah, I was pretty shot from the trip up, and no offense to the competitors, I'm sure they did great. I was just very tired, and I fell asleep during that match.
Yeah, Glory Pro. Obviously, this is the show we didn't see live. We saw through Fight TV. Mm-hmm. It was a very solid show. I also missed a couple because at one point I took a shower. Mikey, you know, this was the show. Like we were still.
We're getting like settled in is the best way.
We were getting settled in. We already drove up the night before, but this was now us. Like we woke up, we recorded, hit the books, and then
made some lunch,
and then like we're making lunch. Like we finished recording, hit the books, and it's like, I think it was like this show started at 3 p.m. I think it was.
We finished recording at like 2:30.
It was like 2:30, and we were like, okay, we need to get our shit together. So it was like we still had showers and food to eat and stuff like that. So there were obviously we can't give a full review of the show, but
yeah,
it was in there.
A lot of us missed a lot of parts. But
I really liked AJ Gray ACH. That was the main event for the Crown of Glory title match. Mm-hmm. Really solid wrestling on both of these parts. This was obviously the big storyline going in, sort of. ACH just putting on. ACH is this like new indie character where he's just like the. He's not cocky. It's like just the confident heel.
Mm.
Like he just knows that he's good. It's a very similar character to sort of like how Alex Shelley has been doing on the independent scene recently.
Yeah.
Especially like in Black Label Pro. It's like he's not cocky or anything, but he's definitely like doing some sort of like kind of heel moves.
Yeah, like he knows he's good and he's a bit of an ass about it, but he's not like in your face awful about it.
Exactly. Exactly. And AJ Gray held his own as well. I found out a couple of days later that AJ Gray has wrestled this entire weekend with a, cracked rib.
It's insane to pull off a match like that.
Yeah, nearly 20-minute match like that.
Jesus.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say that I love the North versus Alex Zane and Blake Christian.
I was just about to mention that.
That was there a good
do you want, match. Do you want to talk about it?
Sure. The North versus Alex Zane and Blake Christian, that match was awesome. I think it was a great showcase for the North. I think they really brought it, that match. I think everyone in that match just really brought it, and I thought it was really good.
Agreed. 100% agreed. Mm-hmm. I really liked also War Horse versus Zachary Wentz. That also was a great weekend long story, I guess.
Possibly. God, we still don't know if it was just a we don't know if it was a weekend long work or if it was
a ride.
That started on Friday and ended on Sunday.
I guess we should give them context ish. During this match, at the end of this match, Warhorse went to go get his belt and he couldn't find it. So he started to like get mad, he shoved the ref, and like the commentators didn't say anything about it. They were just kind of like, well, here goes to the next match.
There's
and
also
all of
nothing
us,
on Twitter about it.
We're literally sitting there like, what the fuck? Is this work? This is shoot? Only to find out later in the night, at least whether or not Ryan put up a good point, they could have made this into an angle. That the angle was that someone stole it and is now going to fight him for it.
Well, it was someone, like you said, at the end of the night, someone posted it allegedly to eBay for Craigslist for like $800.
Yeah.
So whether or not it was a real thing that happened where someone stole it and they got it and then, you know, IWTV got it back.
The guy who found it on Twitter was Dan the Dad.
That's true. That is true. The guy that posted it on Twitter, it was originally posted on Reddit, I believe.
Yes.
But whether or not whoever posted that on Reddit, that's one thing. But yes, Dan the Dad was the one that kind of shared it on Reddit or from Reddit to Twitter.
Which there's just so many like things of us going, I don't know what the fuck is the shoot or the work now.
Whether or not they made a good job out of it.
They did. So. They made a good angle out of it. I enjoyed it. For later.
I also just want to bring up Hakeem Zayn versus Kylie Rae. That match
was
awesome, I thought.
Another great match for Kylie Rae. And Hakeem Zayn did a good job in this match.
Yeah, Hakeem Zayn brought it. This was his only show of the weekend, and obviously he brought it. Kylie Rae did, as always, a good job. Hakeem Zayn just being the utter heel. just healing every single opportunity he can get.
His manager just was like the healiest thing you could ever see. Just good match though.
Can I talk about Jake something versus Manders?
Go for it.
The match that shouldn't have been the match that should have just been a singles match.
It should have just been a street fight, man.
Yeah. So this was the bull rope match between Jake something and Manders was one of the matches on this card I was excited for because I was like, this should be good. So the match starts, and like obviously the referee has to put the bull rope. You know, the bull rope match idea is that you're putting attaching a rope between everyone's wrists. Well, not everyone's wrists. The ref's not included. Between the participants.
That'd be wild.
Wrists. And they have to fight. That's basically it. And it's like basically no disqualification at that point.
It's the same thing as a dog collar match, except it's around your wrist instead of your neck.
Exactly. And there's also like a cowbell on the freaking rope.
Something like that.
But the way they tied the bull rope to people's arms is they just did like a loose, like, thread. It wasn't like a strap like it usually is. It was like they just tied it, the rope itself, just like one knot, basically a slip knot on each of the contestants' rope on wrists. The entire match, it just kept undoing for both participants. Jake something constantly, Manders sometimes as well. Even the cowbell, which was like supposed to be in the middle, was
it just
not even,
fell off.
It wasn't even like loose. It just fell off at one. It wasn't like attached.
It was sliding.
So it kept sliding. There was a point in the match where like Manders was obviously trying to get the cowbell. Like something was on the top rope. He was choking out Manders. Manders was like trying to grab the rope and move it up so they can get the cowbell and hit something. He kept trying to, but by pulling the rope, the cowbell was just staying on the ground and like getting less and less on the actual rope. And then they just gave up the spot and thing. This match, besides all of that, this match was good. It just, if it wasn't a bull rope match, it would have been great.
Or if the bull rope match was executed better.
Yeah, just
just actually tie it like, around their wrist or get them a strap or something.
There's just a better way to do it. I know that costs money, you independent wrestling company, but come on. You made the match look
dumb.
You
independent wrestling
company. You made it look... I blame the Glory Pro on that one because it's like that looks... It looks so bad now.
It was rough.
It would have been a great match if they had the actual stuff together.
Well, if we were to give Glory Pro a quick rating on the markout scale, what are we thinking?
With the context of the weekend, I would probably give it, I want to just say a meh, but I'm torn here.
Yeah, I mean, I also didn't watch, I missed like 3 or 4 matches of this card, so I can't really give like the best thing, but what I did see, it's like a high meh.
Yeah.
Like, it's not there yet, but like, if the bull rope was working, it probably would be an easy mark out. No, I'm not going to blame it all on the bull rope. But like, of what I did see, I would give it a high meh. So whether or not those other matches meet that oversee that expectation is hopefully...
Some of the other matches when I'm looking at the card now, like I'm thinking to myself, these aren't bad. Because I will say one thing to point out. I was very pleased. There was no bad wrestling on here.
Yeah.
Like, out of all things, there was no one was like Eva Marie Bab, where I was like, oh my God, stop wrestling.
Yeah.
Stop.
From what I saw, a lot of the issues were from just like things that could have been easily fixed. I don't think anything was on the wrestler's part, really. I agree with you guys on the high meh spectrum. I thought it was a good show. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed what I saw. But it was nothing super remarkable. Anyway. Now that we're done with our honorable mention, let's get into our first show that we saw live this weekend. We saw Joey Janela's Spring Break 4, Spring Break Forever. Personally, I think this show was absolutely bananas.
This show was insane.
Any highlights for you guys on this one?
A couple, but I'll shorten it down to, since I know what one of you is going to pick, I have to give honorable mentions to ACH versus Lio Rush. I thought this match was fantastic. Both guys really brought their A game. And I also learned late in the night the commentary was really bigging up how both these guys were kind of on a path of redemption, both having their issues in the indies, both then having their issues in WWE, and then both now showing up here and both bringing their all and really trying to like have a more respectable, like be more redeemable with each other. And I really liked it because it added more layers to the match because these guys gave everything they had, and I couldn't get enough of this match, in my opinion, though.
Yeah, I agree. That match was really great. These two really just put their heart and soul into it. You could tell how passionate they were to have this match.
Yeah, you're right. This match mattered to both of them.
Exactly. You felt it.
Yeah, that point came across clear. Before the match, during the match, after the match, when they hugged it out at the end, this was a moment for them. And I remember hearing somewhere that, like, Leo Rush is probably going to, like, not necessarily retire, but stop wrestling, focus on, like, rap and whatnot.
He says that a lot.
This is true. But I could see this being his last, and I think if this was his last, it would have been well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. All right. Well, I think a highlight for me, for sure, was Ricky Morton versus Joey Janela.
I knew when he was going to put that.
That match was, I did not expect that match to be as good as it was, and those two Ricky Morton especially did not need to go as hard as he did for us.
Ricky Morton bled for Joey Janela's spring break. What 2020, we're having Ricky Morton, legendary Hall of Famer, Rock and Roll Express, 64 years of age, blading,
but doing pile drivers through plastic tables.
Which was fucking awesome.
It was so cool.
Amazing.
There was so many crazy spots in this match. This match in general, these two really brought it, and they did not have to go that hard, but they did for us, and it came out for an awesome match, and it was definitely, for me, like one of the sleepers of the night, because I thought it was going to be like, I thought this match was going to be fine, but this match ended up being awesome.
Yeah, I mean, in honestly, like, that doesn't necessarily surprise me. I mean, Ricky Morton is always a legend, right? He knows how to put a good match together. Joey Janela is a legend of the independent scene. Put those two together, and what do you got? You got an amazing match where the story was just, I'm going to beat you up. I'm just going to beat the other person up, and that's the simple story.
Janela was going with not having legends overshadow current dudes, something like that, like legends, something like that. I feel like I heard him say something like that in the match, but granted, we were far away, so.
That's true.
Ricky Morton just brought, it's just the most surprising thing to me was how much Ricky Morton brought and how much he could still go.
Canadian
honestly.
Destroyers, right. Out the water.
With his age, it's amazing how much he was able to pull off in this match, and I give him 100% props
Janela
for this.
Took so much punishment.
And Janela took so much punishment. Morton took so much punishment. These two just put each other through the ringer, and it made for a great match.
The crowd also was so into this, so like it was. This match was bumping, basically.
It's almost like if you put on a good match, the crowd's gonna like it.
A match that I really want to talk about. I'm looking at this entire card, and there's I can think of points for every single match on this card.
Pretty much.
So it's very difficult, but I want to shine a light on a match that really impressed me: Iron Beast versus the Rascals.
Yes, that match was very, very good.
Oh, I came out of this match wanting more Rascal matches, and I've never heard of them before this match.
I've heard of the Rascals before, and I greatly enjoyed the wrestling, but I came out of this match wanting more Iron Beast, KTB and Shane Mercer. They looked amazing.
If people haven't heard of the Rascals, Ryan, who was wrestling for them as well?
For today, the Rascals are a trio group, but today, or on this show, it was Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz. Rascals are a tag team. They also feature Trey Miguel. Keep forgetting. I'm sorry, Trey. I keep forgetting your name. Yeah, they're Impact Wrestling team, and they're really, really good. Iron Beast was the team that I loved to. I thought they looked great. They had great moveset. I remember that assisted back flipping slam that Iron Beast did.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was great. The pure. This isn't really a move of the Iron Beast moveset, but just pulling a door out from underneath the ring, throwing it up as Xavier goes for a suicide dive out of the ring.
Oh, that thud he made when he hit that door. Just, I was like, oh, that hurts.
It was so loud. And in I don't know how it picks up on the fight stream, but the cavernous, loud noises that come from that ring, because of it's the building we're in is concrete floors, cinder block walls, Echo City. Like, it's just everything you can do will just echo off of everything else.
Which was used to an advantage of another match we'll talk about later.
Yes, I mean it was an advantage of every single match. Like every single powerful move you do, you just hear it ring out forever. And that dive into a door was beautiful.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
You heard like every chop, every slam. It was just
booming.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But yeah, like I'm looking at this card, like every single match was like really, really good. I mean, we had the surprise start with Orange Cassidy.
Oh, the building literally blew the roof off when he showed up.
We had Gresham Moriarty for 20 minutes, just pure technical wrestling.
Good also ass very technical good. Wrestling.
It felt like they wrestled a pure wrestling title match, which I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Shout outs to the finale of the night, which would be Matt Tremont's retirement match. Yeah. That match was great.
I wanted to just get into that real quick. I just wanted to get everyone's quick thoughts. I personally thought that match was insane. It was a great way to close out the night. I think it was a great send-off for Tremont. And I think it really rounded out the crazy amount of different styles we saw just at Spring Break.
Actually, yeah, now that you point that out, there's a lot of styles. Catch, then we had the high-flying, like super fast-paced tag action with the Rascals and Iron Beasts. We had some great singles competition, and then you have a death match.
Yeah, whatever you say about Joey Janela, he puts together a great show.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He puts together like a solid, diverse card,
except for one low light. I think
I was going to say that point, and it was literally just because it was too goddamn long.
The low light, I think all of our low lights was the clusterfuck battle royal.
It's something that's been said on Twitter.
It was long. It was a little sloppy. It made the night go on way too long. It pushed back the show after it. It was kind of a mess. It was fun. There was some cool wrestlers, but there was just too many.
There was a point where there were like the whole outside of the ring was just filled with people, and I was just sitting there thinking, guys, you got to get rid of some people. When is this going to happen soon? But there were some good spots too. Like Juicy showed up along with Tankman. They both had great spots where they just literally killed people. I'm trying to think what other good spots happened in that match.
Violence is Forever coming out.
Yes.
And Kevin Koo of Violence is Forever coming out in a Super Dragon mask, curb stomping Alley Cat and taking away one of her 9 lives.
Yes, that was brutal. Oh. I remember physically. When I was there, I watched Alley Cat's head hit the ground, and I heard the echo, and I literally, like, flinched. I was like, ugh, and I was looking away. It was, like, it was rough. It was definitely so rough to watch in person, especially.
I called it beforehand. I was like, we better, for god dang GCW, Joey Janela Spring Break 4, see Yoshihiko take on the Invisible Man.
And we did.
That was amazing.
That was all I wanted. I didn't care about any of the other Invisible Man spots, but all I wanted was to see Yoshihiko, a doll that other wrestlers have to sell for, take on nothing.
Take on the Invisible Man.
Now having
an invisible wrestler, who wrestlers have to sell for.
It is a doll, because that's the only way you can do it. A doll now has to sell/fight nothing. It's the only thing that the doll can sell for. It was crazy. That's all I want. And then everything else was like, yeah.
Yeah, that was wild. It was just super fun to see stuff like that.
But man, why has it got to be an hour long, man? What the fuck?
I love when the Invisible Man shows up.
Cage Match usually puts like the times in for all these matches. They have the times for every single other match. Like, you know, Gresham Moriarty was 20:50. Tony Depp and Alex Shelley, 13:29. The Clusterfuck doesn't have a rate time.
Oh, my God.
They didn't even bother.
Their stopwatch ran out of battery.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up our thoughts on Spring Break. What do you guys think? Miss out, Matt, or mark out for Spring Break?
That is a mark out for me.
I agree with Zach. I think for me, Spring Break was definitely a mark out. I loved it. I popped. There were so many great moments. Even with the clusterfuck being underwhelming, I think the whole rest of the night was still absolutely awesome.
It's a low mark out for me. Every single thing was really, really good. Just the clusterfuck was just incredibly long and got extremely tedious. And obviously, you have to sort of acknowledge that there may or may not have been backstage shit that went down in terms of the agenting of this clusterfuck battle royal.
We still don't know what's going on over there.
But, you know, at the very least, the show was pretty good. I would give it a low mark out for me.
Cool, cool. Well, then let's move on to show number 2 that we saw live very late at night / early in the morning. We went to Freelance Underground. That was a fun card, I think. Very interesting. So we saw that show. What were your guys' quick takes?
There were a couple matches on this card that I thought were really good. There were some that, as a match, I have to say that it wasn't a great match, but it was entertaining. So I
don't know why you're
looking
at me when you say that.
Because there's a specific match here where I was like, you know, as a match, that match wasn't great, but I had a fun time watching that match.
In terms of being positive, I think the easily the best match in the card was Kylie Rae versus Josh Alexander for the Freelance World title.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree. You mean the match where Kylie Rae broke Josh Alexander's nose?
True. Yes, that is true.
Yeah, that match was definitely a highlight for me. I love Kylie Rae. That's no surprise to longtime fans of this show. I love Kylie Rae, and this match was just highlighted everything good about both competitors. It highlighted Josh Alexander's just pure strength and power and just ability to be a heel. And it highlighted Kylie Rae's like never quit, never give up spirit. And
yes,
it showed her technical wrestling prowess as well.
Agreed.
I have to say one thing is you have to remember that when we saw this match, it was like 2:30 in the morning. And
yes,
she and Josh Alexander and Kylie Rae energized the building. I specifically remember there was a point right before the finish where everyone was like on their feet, were like super energized, yelling at Josh to just fucking tap the fuck out. And when he did, the building blew off the roof. Kylie Rae then left. But I was like, all I remember thinking was they energized. Both of them made the entire room go from, holy fuck, it's tired. I'm tired. I'm ready to go home to wrestling is awesome again.
And I would say that the scramble did a little bit of that. I would say the triple threat with Ethan Page, Kobe Carino's Shane Mercer also did a little bit of that.
I was gonna bring that up.
Actually the next match.
I really liked the triple threat.
That I really enjoyed that match really.
The triple threat would made it great for me being in the audience was the acknowledgement from Ethan Page saying that who's ready to wrestle at 2 a.m. Like it's a joke. But for me, the audience is like, oh, great. They're kind of upset about this, and they find this whole thing ridiculous, and sort of like they're making the levity of it. I'm obviously reading too much into that, but it was much needed. Because then we get that, and it's like, oh, yeah, they're also being like, this is ridiculous, and you know, they're also being part of it.
It brings you back into reality. It's like, oh yeah, they're people too.
Ethan literally went to sleep before the match even started. He laid under the ring apron for a hot second, and I was at the same boat. I was like, okay, even they understand it's 2 a.m. We're all watching a pro wrestling match.
But I brought it up. The scramble I thought was really good as well.
Yeah, that was a good match.
That was easily the second to best match of this card. It was a very, very good match. I thought Blake Christian Alexane always doing great as well. I thought Elena Black did well as well. And then the newcomers, Storm Grayson and Davey Bang as well, thought held their own. Davey Bang seemingly just doing a Hangman Adam Page gimmick, but with instead of beer, it's Bang energy drinks.
Yeah.
And that's all the matches I'm going to talk about.
I was going to say, I'll mention, shout out to the one match that Mikey and I had fun watching, which was Brothers of Fun Destruction versus Warhausen.
The match, I think all of us in this room agree that in terms of wrestling, match was bad. In terms of entertainment, match was fun.
I had a great time watching them. From Danhausen being abducted by the fucking Brothers of Fun Destruction because he's a clown, to...
That was very good. They saw the face paint, and then they brought Danhausen over to their side, and he's like, he's a clown with us. And Danhausen's like, no, I want to be with Warhorse.
To Danhausen doing his dance on the apron, and Warhorse headbang shimmying along the apron with him.
To tequila.
To tequila, of all things, was awesome.
And I know Ryan hated this match, so let's move on.
I've been trying to think of like good things I have to say about this match.
You don't have to say good things. I get it. If you don't like a match, you don't like a match. It happens.
To keep my journalistic integrity, I want to try to think of a good thing to say.
You're allowed to be honest.
I think Warhausen did a good job of trying to keep the entertainment up. I was just not into the Brothers of Fun Destruction at all. We got a tag team, Doink the Clown gimmick, but now they also have props. I was really hoping for a banana spot, and that never happened. Banana peel slip on the tequila, that never happened. I think that's a missed opportunity, and that's also why I think it's bad. But besides that, And I've been thinking about it as well, is that I don't know if I was upset about this match because of what the match was, or if it's because this is a comedy tag team match at 1:30 in the morning. You know, like, if this was, like, during, you know, if this was at 6 in the afternoon, maybe it would have been better. But the fact that this, I'm watching this at 1:30 in the morning, is like, this is not what I do not want to be doing, watching this right now. I want to be, like, watching something else. If you put the triple threat here instead, I would have been like, oh, great. And then I get into other things as well. Like, this set me in, like, a bad mood for, like, the rest of the card, and the scramble helped get me out of it.
Mm.
But, yeah. I mean, Ruffo the Clown and Yabo the Clown. I have no interest in seeing them wrestle again.
That's fair. I wasn't really into that whole gimmick either. It's like, I don't know. I just don't think a clown, I don't even think a clown gimmick is just very funny at all.
And what's with Freelance's obsession with clowns?
Frank the Clown, those two clowns, Robert Anthony being a clown.
Got 3.5 clowns
Robert
on the show.
Had pants,
who
just
as
clowns.
Another part of the show did win a title off of Effie that night.
This is true.
I have to point out here, Indianapolis fucking hates Frank the Clown, man. Every time he showed up, all I heard in the crowd was like, fuck you, Frank, or like,
yeah, it was
you
rough.
Went to college for 2 years,
rough.
Frank, and you still fucking suck.
Rough
just
night
like,
for Frank.
Damn, dude.
All right, well, with that out of the way, what are we giving Freelance Underground in terms of miss out, met, or mark out?
Miss out.
Enough.
I mean, it's a high miss out, I guess. Like, there's
a high miss out.
Like, if they ever post it online, like, if I'm not gonna say drop $13 to watch this show, but if you get a chance to watch Kylie Rae versus Alexander, do that.
Or
besides
get,
that,
or
you
don't
need
to
watch
this. Triple threat.
Besides that, you don't need to watch this pay per view. It was
I was gonna give it a meh, and I was literally going to say it is saved for me by the scramble and by Kylie Rae versus Josh Alexander and the triple threat. Those three at the end brought my rating up for this.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm in Ryan's camp here. It was a high miss out, except for some like small highlights that kind of almost brought it to meh. But I think it was
low
really
meh
there.
For me. Like literally, like a low ass. Like you are lucky Kylie Rae and Josh Alexander put on that good of a main event.
Yeah, or else that whole pay per view would have been a bust. I think.
Agreed.
Anyway, next up, we're moving on to our next live show, which is BLP Threat Level Noon. The show with 8 curveballs.
It's cursed, man.
I mean, yeah, you have to. If we're talking about this show, you have to talk about the fact that so many of the wrestlers did not, the advertised wrestlers for the show were not there.
Carlito and Chris Masters.
Chris Masters, Fred Rosser and Darren Young. Sorry, Fred Rosser and Heath.
And Heath.
Kylie Rae, Isaias Velasquez.
Tankman?
Tankman was not there. They said he was attacked in the back, which it became part of a storyline, but then he also showed up at Bloodsport later that day. Mm-hmm. So maybe he got better or whatever happened. Who knows? But he just never showed up for that. And then Gary J as well did not show up for the scramble, but then obviously he shows up later in the show. So I don't know what happened there either.
I feel like we missed something here. Like, if there was an angle, if it wasn't, it was just, I was literally the whole time going like, this pay-per-view is cursed.
Yeah, I mean, they talked about, I mean, the boss like sent a tweet where it was like, oh, this one we happened when we sent 8 curveballs. And maybe it's because like Tankman and Gary J didn't show up in time.
Mm.
And so they just cut Tankman altogether and used Gary J in a storyline.
Maybe.
But if they were there, and you're just, and part of your storylines for the show was for them to not be in the scramble, or not be in the scramble, not be in the fatal four way, or just the four way, I should say. Scrap it. You already have 6 people gone from your show. Don't force yourself to scrap 2 more.
Yeah.
I
feel that.
I don't know what level of it was storyline, but if you are doing these storylines and you already have 6 people gone, don't force yourself to lose 2 more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely a weird choice on BLP's part. But However, with all those curveballs mentioned, I still think this show was awesome.
This was amazing.
The show, for what
this was
had,
a great
amazing.
Card.
Amazing.
Especially, like, even with everything that happened, this card ended up being really, really awesome and really, really good. And I think a lot of the matches really, really shined. Let's just talk about some we could go on about this show for hours, but let's just each give one highlight that we had. Zach, you go first, bud.
I'm going to have to give it to, since I know that you're going to pick the other one that I was going to do, I'm going to go with, it was Blake Christensen, JD Drake, Ethan Page, and Alex Zane, I think it was.
Yes.
In the Fatal 4-Way, impromptu Fatal 4-Way match. Considering the fact this match went from two guys in a Fatal 4-Way and two guys in a singles match, and they put it together, this match fucking slapped.
This was great.
Loved this match.
Agreed.
It was my first JD Drake match. Loved him in this match. I seen Blake Christian all weekend. He's awesome, by the way. And Ethan Page and Alex Zane did a damn good job with this match.
I've been watching a lot of Evolve, and JD Drake has been someone that I've been becoming a huge fan of. I think he has all the talent in the world. I think he can easily be used a lot more in a lot of different spots. Obviously, you know, he didn't. When Evolve collapsed, he didn't choose to go with like WWE or anything else, or presuming he didn't give him a contract for whatever reason. But JD Drake is great. He is amazing talent. His size, his look, I think, is great. He comes out immediately. This match was supposed to have Calvin Tankman and Isaias Velasquez in it. Both those guys are out. They just put in, like you said, Blake Christian, JD Drake into this match because they were supposed to have a singles. And JD Drake comes out. Obviously, he has like a thing with Blake Christian because they were supposed. That's what their match was planning to be. Then he immediately takes issue with Ethan Page. I don't remember what the reason for, but I remember he said something.
I think it was that Drake took off his towel and he threw it in the direction of Ethan Page, and it hit him, and he was just like, "Oh, you want to just do that to me? Like you're going to do me like that?" And then from that point on, it was just kind of like, but I might be mixing the matches up. I know that happened in one match with Ethan.
Yeah, but it was so great. That 4-way was just so.
Yeah, that match was really, really awesome.
Oh, and also I like the storyline inclusion at the end with Dan the Dad.
Oh, yes, with Ethan Page going for the pin, Dan the Dad, someone he's been feuding with both on Black Label Pro and the V-Log.
Yes.
Tearing up the pin.
Getting him out of the ring and costing him the match.
Yes, that was very good. Ryan, quick highlight.
Quick highlight. I mean, honestly, like you said, the 4-way was probably my favorite. But I am going to instead talk about, let's see, Shelley versus Henry as the opener. I thought that was really, really good. Mm-hmm. I thought that, you know, this was a dream match for Anthony Henry. Alex Shelley coming out here defending the Midwest title. And, you know, being that sort of cocky, confident heel kind of veteran that he is, I think put on a really great working the limb match, just constantly working Alex Shelley's leg, and hopefully wear him down. But ultimately, it's Alex Shelley's veteran maneuvers. And you know, it is to say that the match got kind of messed up by awkward pin count there.
Yes,
but and both competitors didn't look necessarily happy about that. But you know, other than that, it was still a very good match. I mean, it's what's disappointing about those awkward pin counts by referees is that like it takes either like immediately deflates the ending of any sort of wrestling match you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
The like you know it could you know it's just like because then your audience is like not celebrating. It's more I'm confused about what just happened.
Exactly.
Yes. That's always a rough thing when two people put on an awesome match and it's immediately just a little bit undercut by a weird end. A highlight for me, I think, in this one was Jake Something versus Warhorse.
I loved this match.
This match was great. Jake Something immediately getting rid of Warhorse's face paint was a huge heel move in my eyes.
Yeah, right off the top.
Yeah, right off the top, taking away Warhorse's face paint, which has been canon part of the source of his power, because once you take away the face paint, he goes from Warhorse to Jake Parnell, and when he goes to Jake Parnell, he is apparently a much weaker opponent, but I didn't see that in this match because he brought it.
I was a huge fan of Jake Something coming out of the this weekend, I was like, Jake something is a fucking beast. I think, honestly, this is one of Warhorse's best matches that I've seen.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Warhorse matches. This was definitely up there.
I think I can agree to that. I mean, this was Warhorse really brought it in this match. You know, this is for the Black Label Pro title. You know, Jake something being the monster heel, Warhorse being. Warhorse's character is very interesting because it's like he's not necessarily the underdog, you know, but like he's just someone that
he's one of the longest reigning independent wrestling television champions.
Yeah, he has built up a little bit of a pedigree here.
I think now the most defenses of that title.
Yes, 100%. Definitely, like he has like built up a pedigree here, but like he is someone that you can't. He just keeps going and go. He's like the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah,
I thought more of like Heavy Metal meets the Ultimate Warrior.
That works as well.
I think we all love that match. It was awesome. It was a great showcase for both guys. Before we move on, I do think we would be remiss to not talk about Top Flight versus Eric Stevens and Tom Lawler. I know we all also love that match as well.
Top Flight showed their shit.
Top Flight really had an amazing showing. They really they weren't even supposed to be in this match, but
I believe this one was the Carlito Chris Masters one.
No, Carlito and Chris Masters was supposed to be against Effie and Danhausen.
That was the stunt doubles.
No, well that was they were another replacement. The stunt doubles were a replacement for Carlito and Chris Masters.
I don't remember. Go on.
I can't.
I forgot who Lawler and I think Lawler and Stevens were supposed to take on Slater or Heath and the other guy. I can't remember whose name it right now.
Fred Ross or
yes.
Darren
Young. I believe it was them two versus them, and then it was Carlito and Masters versus Effie and Danhausen. Gaitanic Panic.
Either way.
Top Flight. Either way, Top Flight was a replacement in this match, and I think they took amazing advantage of this opportunity, and I think it was also an amazing advantage for Black Label Pro for storytelling purposes. And
agreed,
100%. I think all around this match was better because Top Flight was in it.
Agreed. I've been watching a lot of Black Label Pro since they returned from the off season, I guess.
Sorry to interrupt you real quick. Top Flight being Airwolf and Angel Dorado.
Black Label Pro has been doing a great job since coming back during the pandemic. I keep trying to say after, but I'm like, not after. We're still in it.
It's still happening. I'm thinking of it.
But yeah, this match was supposed to have two XWB people against Eric Stevens and Tom Lawler. That's a cool parachute in match to watch. But ultimately, what Black Label Pro is they just got Top Flight. This match made sense within the canon of Black Label Pro. Top Flight coming off of a title shot, going up against Eric Stevens and Tom Lawler, you know, who then lose again. So it's like, oh, Top Flight, they can, you know, they're still possibly could be circling the title drain. I thought this was good. I'll be honest, Top Flight, I've seen a lot of their matches recently, and I haven't seen a match that they didn't really botch into. This match was perfect for them. I think this was their match of my weekend. This was really good. I want to give all the props in the world of Black Label Pro. I think they are. I said it before that I think that if Black Label Pro focuses more consistently on their storytelling, they have the sky's the limit for them. I mean, I'm losing my train of thought here, but they basically. I completely lost what I was going to say. This is my whole point. Black Label Pro is really, really great. They are the only card that came in with stories, a lot of stories, and came out with a lot of stories for their next show.
Was it that it was going to fill the hole that Evolve left?
Yes. That was my conclusion statement, was that this, if they continue focusing on these stories, continue on building from show to show, and continue building up to things, I think they could easily fill the void that Evolve left. And that's not to say because they already have Evolve leftover people like Anthony Henry and JD Drake, but I definitely believe that if they keep doing what they're doing, they have the possibility of filling that void.
Yeah, I agree. I think Black Label Pro kicked ass, knocked the show out of the park, even with the 8 curveballs. As forementioned, I love this show. And if we're going to give it ratings from miss out, met, or mark out, I think I'm giving it a mark out easy. This show ruled.
I'm also going to give it a mark out.
I'm easily giving it a mark out. I thought this was amazing.
Yeah. Slapped. So if you can, buy it on Fight TV. Watch it. Every match was awesome. This was just a great card all around. And it was just a blast and a half to watch live. Well, with that out of the way, and now we've given a super mark out to Black Label Pro over here, let's move on to the next show in our lineup, which I believe is our second to last show of the weekend, Shimmer Volume 118. Guys, what do we think?
It was good. I thought they were all solid matches, with a couple particular that I was like, damn, this is really good.
Yeah, I thought this was a solid show. It was, you know, there was definitely a lot of stuff in here that was really good. I think there was some stuff in here that maybe went a little bit too long. There was one fan that kind of ruined some things for a lot of the audience, and we'll get into that even more when it gets to Bloodsport.
We'll get to Bloodsport, yeah.
But there was a lot of standouts for me. I mean, there were some women on here that I haven't seen wrestled before. One big standout was Lacey Ryan versus Davine, I believe.
Davienne.
Lacey Ryan. Never seen her before wrestle. She looked amazing in this match. She along with Iron Beast earlier, was a wrestler that I want to see more of her. I think she had a great look. She had great speed, great moveset, great strength. I think she had all of the tools, and can't wait to see more of her. I think she is someone that sky's the limit for her at this point.
I agree. Lacey Ryan definitely put on an awesome showing. I think a big highlight for me was the tag team match with the Bird and the Bee versus Kayla Cassidy and Sierra. I liked that match a lot. Not knowing the Bird, I've seen singles matches with Willow Nightingale and Solo Darling. I've never seen them tag team before, and I've never seen Kayla Cassidy and Sierra. But everybody in this match impressed me, and I thought it was very good, very entertaining. And I thought the Bird and the Bee really, really brought it, and their charisma is through the roof. Honestly, it's unbelievable how into them I was so quickly.
For me, my highlight would probably be the main event, because I have never seen a Kimberly match.
Kimberly versus Nicole Savoy blew the roof off the place.
Fucking great match. Despite that one fan being annoying, I was so into this match. Nicole Savoy impressed the hell out of me. It's Kimberly, because Mikey was marking out for Kimberly, and I'm like, okay, I'm like, she's got to be good
at least, or
entertaining.
As fans of the show would know, I love Kimberly. I like Kimberly very much. I've reviewed plenty of her matches in the olden days of Indy 500.
Yeah, the main event was just astounding. It was Nicole Savoy coming out there, you know, giving her all. Kimberly giving it her all as well. I mean, they went out here for the fight, and they beat the shit
out of each other at some points in this match. And I absolutely loved it. Shout outs for me, by the way, to Layla Hirsch. I think was that her last name?
Yes.
Yes. She was in Black Label Pro. I didn't talk about it, but in here, too, I was just reminded how much I was impressed with her this weekend.
Yeah, in the last three shows we watched, Layla Hirsch was in all of them, and in all of them, she impressed me.
I love that Layla Hirsch shows up for one day and kind of steals it.
Yeah.
Like, I would argue if anyone was the potential MVP of that day, it might have been Layla Hirsch.
I agree, because she was in every show we watched that day, and and every time I saw her, I was impressed or being like, damn, this is a great match, and it was just always positive for Layla Hirsch, I think.
Yeah, I came out of the Shimmer going like, damn, I need to watch more matches with a lot of these women, because they fucking, some of them really like put out a good-ass match.
I agree. So, what are we giving Shimmer 118, a miss out, meh, or mark out?
I'll go first. I'm going to give it a meh, because while a couple matches, like, for instance, a high-end and Thunder Kitty's match and Kimberly and Nicole Savoy's match, I thought were good, like really good, a lot of the other matches in this card were like solid to me. Like, most of them were just fine. Nothing awful, nothing bad, good wrestling, good job on everyone's part. No one fucked it up. It's good.
Yeah, I think I can agree with that. I'll also give it a meh. Like, it is, there's a lot of great matches on here. There was a lot of solid stuff on here. And at the end of the day, like, there wasn't a bad match on this card. Just everything was just, like, solid. Mm-hmm. Like, the, you know, solid wrestling. I don't have a single complaint. Like, it maybe it's like the criticism there is that nothing really like blew me away up until the main event, or specifically Lacey Ryan. But like, or maybe I, you know, there wasn't stories or something that I really, it was a lot of like, it felt like I was parachuting into a lot of different things.
Makes sense.
But, and maybe that is why I didn't really fall completely in love with every single thing. But at the end of the day, no one messed up really. No one really had a bad match. Everything was just solid. So, I mean, meh.
I'm with you guys here. It's meh, but for me, it's a high meh because I really did like everything a lot, and I really enjoyed the show as altogether. I really think that Kimberly Nicole Savoy match was absolutely insane. I really, really like the Bird and the Bee. I really, really like Layla Hirsch and Lacey Ryan. Sorry, I'm terrible with names. Lacey Ryan was also another standout. I think this show is just full of really great wrestling, and if you like wrestling in general, this is a great show to watch. All right, well, that brings us to our last show of the weekend that we saw live, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. What did you guys think?
One word.
Amazing.
One word, two syllables.
Two syllables.
Oh, no, three syllables. Amazing.
I fucking love this entire goddamn... This show was fucking amazing.
Yeah, I thought this was great. This is my show of the weekend. If you've listened to me talk about on Hit the Books or when I guessed on Indy 500 before, when I'm watching wrestling, I'm looking for solid wrestling. You know, I'm a big fan of that sort of technical style, that, you know, the power style, like, less, you know, not necessarily flash is bad, but just, you know, less flashy. It's not old school. I'm just looking for, like, good, solid wrestling. And obviously with Bloodsport's the whole thing, that sort of worked shoot style that, you know, of old Pancras, UWFI sort of thing, that, you know, a work shoot style where they're coming out here and it's just a fight. The fact that there was a bunch of people in here in like a 100-degree thing felt like it was underground fight club, which is the exact atmosphere that you want for Josh Barnett's Bloodsport.
I think that was the coolest thing about it for me, was like the atmosphere was perfect. The concrete room, the cinder block walls, everything just felt like you said, it felt like that underground fight pit, and it was awesome.
Yeah. I thought this the show was great. Every match on the card was really, really good. I just loved it.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I went into Bloodsport expecting to be a little underwhelmed because this is not my style of wrestling at all. Personally, I am more of the type that likes a lot of big spots. I like a lot of story. I like when it's entertaining. I like a little bit of comedy mixed in as well, of course, because I love stupid stuff sometimes, you know. I was never really a fan of just, like, wrestling like this, like, very technical.
Catch
very
style.
Catch style, very technical. For me, I always found it a little boring. But Bloodsport absolutely blew me away. I will say I came around on it. This was absolutely insane. This card was nuts. One of the immediate highlights for me was the opening match, with Simon Grimm and Matt Mikowski. When Matt Mikowski, I think, was dominating that whole match, but
a lot
then
of that match, yeah, gotcha.
But
gotcha. Grimm was on the back foot for a good amount of it.
Yeah, but then Grimm hit Mikowski with like a German suplex, and it knocked him out, and the match ended, which gave me which immediately cemented the idea of, oh crap, I'm not gonna be able to like predict these matches like I can do with some WWE style stuff or like TV style stuff, and that was like a big selling point for me because I'm like, I don't know what's gonna happen ever.
Yeah, like they can tap each other out at any point, they can knock each other at any point. It was a great opener in that sense because it told the audience, like, yeah, you don't know what's happening here. We are here to fight, and it could literally at any moment. And it immediately, you know, in wrestling, when you're watching a show, it's really easy when you're watching a wrestling match, whether it be Black Label Pro, Spring Break, any other matches we watch this weekend, it starts becoming, you recognize those trends, recognize the story beats of where we're going with
and
this.
Where the finishing spot, like you could tell like when it's starting to get toward the finish, you could tell when somebody's going to have a comeback, you could tell, there's always those things you can predict, but for this it was like, the fact that it was unpredictable
yes.
made it great for me.
Yes.
Oh my God.
A highlight for me that I'll put out, obviously, Moxley versus Dickinson was amazing, but I actually want to put a highlight to Tom Lawler versus Homicide, because going into this, I saw Homicide, I'm like, I don't know how good he's going to be, and by the end of this match, I was like, this match fucking slapped. I was like, this is a great-ass match right
Legitimately,
here.
Legitimately.
Yeah, literally.
Slapped each other a lot.
They beat the shit out of each other. Like, some of the matches were heavily submission. This one, they were just punching the shit out of each other, and I was like, I'm all for this.
Homicide, just the legend of this business. He is... Just, you know, you can look back, you know, in NWA, he was having matches with Eddie Kingston, you know, back in the old TNA days, part of LAX with Hernandez. Homicide is just a legend, and he can – what I liked about that match a lot, it was the mixture of mixed martial arts style versus street style.
Yeah.
And it was that combination of fighters that culminated in this match.
It's a great match. I also loved how Tom Lawler looked so happy when he won. He was like, he was just like running around the ring. It was great.
Yeah, he definitely he sold it like a fight. Like he sold, like, you know, you see that happen in like UFC all the time, where like they're ecstatic after a win.
Exactly.
He sold it like that, which I thought was good.
It was good.
I agree. That match was pretty good.
Like, I want to gush about every match on here, but
I know we unfortunately we do not have the time. Ryan, what was the highlight for you?
Like we said, there's a lot of great matches. I just want to give honorable mention to, obviously, of course, Moxley and Dickinson. Honorable mention to Tankman and James. But I personally, I have to talk about Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Josh Alexander. This was a great match, a solid fight. It only 5 minutes and 1 second, according to Cage Match. So a very short match, but it was good. It was just two Canadian dudes going at it, just beating the crap out of each other. Davey Boy Smith wins, but with a power bomb, which I love because you sort of referenced it in terms of that half-and-half suplex that Grimm did to Makowski at the beginning, that it is the power bomb from Davey Boy Smith is a re-legitimizer of the move.
Yes.
You talk about a wrestling that, like, any of these moves can put away any of their opponents. And in this match, the finish was that Davey Boy Smith Jr.'s power bomb, his sort of like glory bomb sort of thing, was so devastating. And you could hear it reverberate throughout the entire auditorium, that it was so devastating that it knocked out Josh Alexander.
He got so much height on this thing, and then Alexander hit the mat, and he didn't move.
He didn't move for a good bit after,
like,
that power.
Whether he was actually for some reason knocked out, or if he was selling, probably wasn't. But like, that was great selling. So I was like, damn, he's just out. He's gone.
And I also have to reference that I did the math. So Mikey knows this. Zach knows this. I am an insane person. So I have this, like, I'm one of those like Google Sheet spreadsheet kind of guys where I have all of my matches and ratings and whatnot listed on a spreadsheet. I've gone way overboard with it. So I put in all my, like, the ratings for each wrestler, and I can tell who my favorite wrestler is based on my match rating. So I have this giant list of like almost 500 wrestlers at this point rated. It's my own personal cage match. but I also have the list of matches and stuff, and it tells me other things. So I've been tracking every single 2020 match I've seen, and when I did the math right before Shimmer, and I realized that this match, Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Josh Alexander, was the 1,000th 2020 match I've seen. You know,
what a good note for 1,000.
Yes, what a good note. I thought this was a great match. But this has obviously those historical moments for me where I hit 1,000 matches watched, 1,000 2020 matches watched. I've seen more matches of other years, but this is the 1,000th 2020 match I really made try to make a good point of like going really head, diving headfirst in the wrestling this year, and I watched a lot of matches from various promotions.
Clearly. So many. Dude, 1,000 is insane.
Yeah, and the fact that they nailed it here, I thought, I mean, boy howdy, they killed it. I loved it.
I know we mentioned it a couple of times, but I do want to real quick talk about Calvin Tankman's match. That dude, Calvin Tankman and Alexander James, oh my God. That match was 6 minutes long, but holy, did they absolutely beat the snot out of each other.
Oh, it was amazing.
Tankman just looked, Tankman had a weekend.
Yeah,
he Tankman had a weekend, and he made the most of it. And this was, I mean, this wasn't even last match of the weekend, but he went out there, hyped up the crowd. Crowd was with him 100%.
Oh my God, yeah, he had the crowd eating out of the palm of his hand. Like his charisma was through the roof.
And just manhandled Alexander James.
Yes.
Just outpowered him.
He ain't a small dude.
I would say, who is not a small dude himself?
Fucking massive. Oh, it was great. The crowd was so on his side.
Yeah, that was great. And one more match we also mentioned is, I feel like it would be a dishonor to just move past this, but Jon Moxley, Chris Dickinson. What? Damn, not only was it a fight, but it was one of the most emotional matches I've seen literally this weekend, I think. Like throughout every match we've seen, it was unreal. I feel like the storyline here was Chris Dickinson trying to make a name for himself and beat Jon Moxley, and Jon Moxley trying to cement that he is the guy.
Yeah.
I loved it. The pure emotion these both of these guys just showed throughout this whole match, and the story that was told there was unbelievable, and I thought this match was a great main event and a great way to end our weekend here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I made a comment after this match, Mikey, where our weekend was capped off with Orange Cassidy and ended with Jon Moxley.
Yeah, that's insane when you think about it.
This match was great. This match was just great. It was just a great fight between Dickinson and Moxley. I tweeted my quick hot take, quick thoughts or whatever on every single match I saw this weekend, and all I wrote for this match was that was awesome. There's no words.
It was so good. It was unbelievable.
Great time.
And then, of course, Moxley cut an emotional promo after the match because Ryan called that immediately. We were taking bets on if Moxley would come out with a title, if he would cut a promo.
Come out with pants or tights.
Come out with pants or trunks, yeah. It was like we had a bunch of like questions about Moxley, and the emotional promo was, I guess, a given.
I will say, I do want to say that there was one really nice collective thread throughout the entire collective.
Nice.
Thank you. I tried for that one. there was just this sense of respect and love for wrestling and indie wrestling here. Yeah. Like every match, everyone shook their hand at the end. In other words, there was no disrespect. Everyone was just there to support each other. AEW's guys that were there all showed how much they were happy to see the indie scene was thriving. Jon Moxley talked about how much wrestling brings people together and how this event itself is just so important to show that indie wrestling is alive and still going and how much everyone's there to help each other and just put on a great time for everyone. And it was really nice to see everyone in every match like just have that feeling with them throughout it.
I agree. Well, we do have to give this one a rating, guys. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. What's your rating?
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's a fucking markout. Come on. I can't even fucking fake that out. That shit slapped. Say it again.
Ryan. Slapped with a T.
Yep. Slapped. So much emphasis on the pt.
thank you, pop microphones.
Yeah.
this was mark out. I mean, this was easily my show of the weekend. I thought every match was really good. The women competitors was amazing.
Oh,
the women's tournament was really good. Every match top down made me excited. It was right up my alley. It would be probably even better if there was that one fan ejected.
I hate that man.
But
he didn't get ejected.
No, I'm saying he should have.
Oh, he did. He
get him out of here.
He got ejected by the crowd. So let's just real quick explain. There was this one fan, and he kept trying to chant for Allison Kay, but he kept trying to do the same chant over and over and over again, and no one was with him literally at all. But he kept trying and trying and trying until eventually the crowd turned on him and started chanting back at him to shut the fuck up.
It was the same guy from like Shimmer as well.
He did it for Nikki,
for Nicole Savoy.
He did it for Moxley. The only reason he didn't get booed for Moxley is because everyone actually was.
Everyone was like, "Well, I mean,
it's
Moxley.
Moxley." And also, people were for Dickinson too. So there was like an equal love for both guys in that match. But
yeah, that one guy, like, because that's the thing about chanting is that I am totally okay with any single person chanting however they want. Obviously, I mean, you can't really yell at them about that. But the problem with that guy was that, and I don't want to put too much emphasis on him, but like his chanting was just a wrestler's name, same tempo, same volume, same, you know, same way of saying it 20 times in a row, doing that every minute or so.
It was like a fucking soundboard, man.
It was a soundboard. Yeah, it was beating a dead horse. It was just like it caused the crowd to like turn on him, which in turn forced people wanting to chant. It forced people to chant for someone else, where the whole point of chanting is to, you're chanting in response to what you're being seen, and now we're all chanting in response to what we're hearing from this one guy. And he, I understand that he wants to support people, but he, by what he was doing and how he was chanting, it's not what he was doing, but how he was chanting, he ruined, not ruined, but devalued some matches here this weekend, and it was frustrating to watch.
It was frustrating.
His chanting had the exact opposite effect on supporting the wrestlers instead of taking away from the wrestlers.
I'll be honest. During the Allison Kay and I think it was Snow match, I actually just wanted – there was a point where I actually wanted Allison to lose just so that that guy would shut up. And I was like, just – granted, Allison lost. The match was still great, but, bro, there was a point where a guy was like, "God, dude, we get it."
Yeah,
and I was just like, "Stop!" I'm like, "Just let the match go, and just let us enjoy this match, please."
Let me bring this up. We have no idea how much it came across on Fight TV at all.
That is true.
We have no idea if it's on the pay per view or not. But live, he was very annoying. Anyway,
yeah,
like I said, let's not give any more attention to this guy.
Let him take over for this. Collective was fucking awesome.
Collective was the collective. I want to get a quick
as Mikey struggles to speak.
I struggle to speak. I would just like to get your guys' as a weekend as a whole, the collective, miss out, Mayor, or mark out?
Mark out for me. I was so goddamn impressed with this weekend. So many people showed up that I'd never heard of, and they put out a really, so many good matches.
Ryan?
My experience, my wrestling viewing experience is a mark out.
Okay.
The qualifier is there because if I had to rate my experience and how I felt as a fan during this COVID time and COVID protocols and all that stuff, I'll be honest. I do want to not give the props to the collective on their COVID protocols.
They did almost everything they can.
They did everything they could, but my issue
like,
with
like they
my,
did temperature checks, they had hand sanitizer, they were wiping down the ring between matches, they separated the bleachers.
Yes, but my issue with how they handled the weekend was that they had temperature checks at the door, they had you know, hand sanitizer booths, like I only saw three around the area. And they separated the booths, the seating a bit, which was also all good. And everyone was told to wear a mask. And, you know, the issue I had that nothing, these are all things that were in place, but none of it felt enforced.
Yeah.
It was like, yes, this is all what we're doing.
And as soon as you got in there, it was a free-for-all.
It basically. And that became all the more present during spring break. During the clusterfuck and then the death match at the end, was that like nothing was being enforced whatsoever by the collective themselves. And I'm not saying that, that whole thing brings me down to a math for the weekend. The whole weekend was a markout, but I do want to bring this up that, like, I was disappointed in how things were in the lack of enforcement of COVID protocols. Like, it felt like the most followed COVID protocol show was Bloodsport, ironically.
Yeah.
And I specifically believe it is because of Jon Moxley that it was followed better. Even before Moxley's match, they made an announcement, please wear your mask.
Yeah.
And then they did the match. Like, I specifically believe that is why that show had a better presence. Because Moxley's taking it seriously. His wife had it.
Yeah.
His opponent had it. Like, if he gets it, if there is a COVID outbreak this weekend, AEW, Impact, Ring of Honor, all these things. Well, I guess Ring of Honor has their own bubble. But all these shows, like all these TV shows, will have Bad News Bears on their hands.
Yeah, that would be rough.
Seating was a bit rough for me. There were points where people were so close to me, and I was like, bro, can you just back up?
Because it's the rows, the general mission seating, which was the bleachers around, they were separated by the rows, but people were sitting next to each other. Like, there wasn't, like, a pod group thing, yeah. You know? And, like, that, it wasn't, like, necessarily a bad thing in that sense, but it was just, like, you know, if you put down the tape along each row of bleachers, but then put, like, small blocks of tape, small sections of tape to, like, block out seating, that could have been better. I don't know. It was just, I wanted to bring that up because that was an important thing for me. And
That's a good point.
I think it's also the elephant in the room, obviously, is mm-hmm. like the, yeah. how this is all happening during a pandemic. But I just wanted to bring that up because I was kind of upset by that, by how GCW collective, whatever, what have you, kind of enforced those things. But other than that, it was, you know, the morning shows were very light people, so it was like not a huge deal at all.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
hopefully
yeah.
we're all
good. Shimmer and BLP were much more fine. Yeah. And Freelance, all the less crowded shows seemed fine.
Yeah, I mean, because there's more ability to space people out.
Yes.
And they did have like both the garage doors open, but it was more of a utility thing, I feel like. But to allow air flow through the building, but still, it was just like, you know, things weren't being enforced. I would have loved if they had some of their young boys or security guys or whatever to. Also, I don't even know if there was a security presence during this entire show, but that's another thing. that's really sort of a thing that was just like, well, actually, now that I think about it, there security? If they just had people around, just like yelling. I mean, I saw so many people that. In the stands, not drinking or eating, they're just taking off their masks and just to enjoy or, you know, lowering their masks. And they're not eating or drinking or anything. They're just watching the show. I get it. It's hot in there, but still, you know, COVID.
To bring us back on a little more positive note.
Please do, Mikey.
My entire 5-day experience with you two is what made it a markout for me. Is the camaraderie and friendship I got from seeing you for the first time since graduation, and being able to hang out with you more.
Oh yeah,
Zach. Sorry, I'm pointing at people, and this is an audio medium. Ryan, seeing you for the first time since graduation. Zach, hanging out with you more, and being able to just go on this trip with two other huge wrestling fans and being able to share the experience of wrestling with other people is something I don't really get a lot because. I think in Jersey, Zach is like one of my only friends who likes wrestling.
That would be a sin here for me.
And in general, it's like maybe three people, Ryan included. So it's not an experience I get often, but when I do get to have it, especially this weekend, it was amazing and super fun. And I don't think I would trade it for the world. So I give this weekend a mark out altogether, wrestling-wise and just hanging out with my friends wise.
Agreed. This is great. I had a great weekend with you guys.
I love this weekend. I'm very happy that I decided to go with Mikey's plan, first time in Florida, and then going
there
again.
The first time, it was all the way back in February, I think me and Ryan started talking about, you know what we should do? Let's go see Joey Janela's Spring Break 4 in Tampa.
I do live in Atlanta. It's only like a couple hour drive.
It's only a couple hour flight for me, and it's not that expensive. Yeah, I remember
And then we got Zach in the loop because I was like, hey, I need let's get more the merrier, right? The more wrestling fans, the better. So I got Zach in the loop. And then, you know, everything happened and it got delayed until October. And now we're here on our last day of being in Indy. And I had a great weekend. I loved it. I had a great wrestling weekend. All the shows were awesome. Everything was just great. Just being able to experience two new cities in 5 days was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you guys for joining me on this weekend and going along with my stupid, crazy plan.
Thank you for including me.
And we'll see you next year in Tampa Bay, Florida. Next April, when WWE's like, we're going to Tampa, baby.
Yeah, COVID's totally gone at that point.
All right. So we've rated the shows. We've told our highlights. So that brings us to the end of this episode of Independent Waters. Remember to go to iTunes, give us that rating, that 5-star rating, that mark out rating over on iTunes. Leave us a review. Tell us how you like the show. Tell us what we could do better. Tell us what we're doing right. We love your feedback over here. And remember to also subscribe to the Hit the Books feed, where you can get an entire backlog of each show here on the Hit the Books Network. And go check out Hit the Books every Friday. Right, Ryan?
Yes. Opportunity for plug. Here we go. That's me putting the plug in. I don't know what that sound of the plug is, though.
It
it's
was
like
the, it was
wooden.
The amp. It was the amp in John Moxley's intro.
Yes. Mikey and I do a show together called Hit the Books. It's on this Hit the Books network that we have right now. Every single Friday, Mikey and I write our own versions of both Raw and SmackDown. We've been doing that for over 2 years now, so go check that out. We have a very long history of doing the show. It's a lot of fun. It's like it's a puzzle. Doing the show is like a puzzle, but you have to make the puzzles. And I do want to say that also this Friday's episode is going to feature Zach Batista himself.
Absolutely.
Where he's writing his own version of NXT. So definitely check that out. And I just want to plug, stay subscribed to the Hit the Books Network feed. Obviously, there's also subscribed to the Indie Waters feed and whatnot. But we have I just want to say, like, continuously, we have some changes moving forward. And I'm going to announce a new show that I'm going to do. Soon as well. I guess that's my first teaser. A new show is on the horizon.
Ooh, suspense.
That's a legit my first teaser I've actually said on audio.
Interesting.
So there you go. Free for Independent Waters listeners only. All listeners. If you just listen to the main feed, you listen to it too. But yeah, so I would say definitely, if you're a fan of Hit the Books, I definitely would recommend subscribing now.
Very big changes coming down the pipeline. Yes. Very big, very good changes, not bad changes.
Yes, I hope there's like enough evidence there to suggest what's happening, what we're doing. But we'll hopefully announce that. Probably announce that in next. Well, definitely announce that in the next couple of weeks. But maybe next week or so, we'll announce what officially that is.
Yes, and remember to go check out our website for any updates like that and anything that has to do with this network. You can go to hdbpod.com,
or you can follow us on Twitter,
at Hit the Books Pod, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Hit the Books Podcast. Where you can get literally everything that has to do with this podcast, any of our wrestling thoughts, stuff like that, go subscribe there. And I think that about does it for plugs. So I think we're going to wrap it up here. And everyone, always remember, there is a giant sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
I'm Ryan. I don't have a thing in this outro.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.